Today on Real Radio.
God might say, I tell you what, I'm going to do something impossible. Jack, come here. I want to do it through you. But God, I'm tired. I'm going to do it through you. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to do it through you. I don't want to. You don't want to? Oh. Well, then I'll use somebody else. No, use me. Aren't we weird? Sometimes as Christians, we got a cross around our neck, but big, big diapers on.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament Gospel written by Luke. We're looking at a section in chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. It's an account of part of the Messiah's ministry where the disciples reported back on how they had exercised their newly acquired power and authority. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Jesus is More Than Enough.
I thought they had a great, successful ministry. I thought they did great things. They preached and they raised the dead. They did all these great things. You know what? How about this? Disappointment, I mean, that hurts, doesn't it, when you're disappointed? But we've survived disappointment. When things don't go our way, you know what? We may shed a tear, but we survive. But listen, you know what the danger is, especially in ministry? When you sense, though, that when God is filling your life and using you, if you get your eyes off of him for but a moment, you begin to look around and say, my, look what's going on. Oh. Success can kill you. Disappointment can hurt you. Success can kill you. Success can destroy a ministry. It can destroy, listen, it can destroy a marriage. If you get your eyes off of how you got there, it can destroy a company when the CEO begins to think that he did it all while all the little worker bees are making all the money. He can be like Nebuchadnezzar and say, look at the great kingdom that I have built. And God said, oh yeah? And the Lord yanks that right out from underneath Nebuchadnezzar's feet until he remembered the Lord God of heaven. We need to be careful. And it's, I think, maybe most dangerous in things of ministry. Why? Ministry is a scary thing because God uses people. And if you get your eyes off the Lord, you'll get goofy. You'll begin to think that you had something to do with it. See, these disciples went out following the Lord and God did a great thing. That's what they need to remember. We went out following the Lord. God did the great thing. And so he's going to minister to them about purpose. Also this, verse 11, Jesus meets our every need and that we're concerned about reaching the lost. If we are truly believers, we will do something, Christian, something to reach the lost, to minister to them, to help them, to bless them. There is no way, I believe this, and you may disagree, that's totally fine, and I understand that my position on this is really hard. I believe that if I'm going to heaven, and I believe that that's real, I cannot be content to have non-believers living around me not knowing the way to heaven. Verse 11 says, but when the multitudes knew that they were going away for a break, they followed him. And look what Jesus did. Did he grab the microphone like the airline pilot? No. He received them. That's a witness. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. That's a witness. And he healed those who had need of healing. That's a witness. The disciples are learning and listening. Jesus says, come away. They get in a boat. In fact, listen to this. Mark's Gospel 6:32 says that as they departed into a deserted place in a boat by themselves, the multitude saw them departing, and many of them knew him, and they ran on foot around the shore through the cities, and they arrived before the disciples at the shore when they came. I am sorry, but that is funny. Let's take a break. Who? Peter says, all right, let's take a break. All right, guys, good job. Let's get in the boat. They get in the boat, they're going to go take a break. Can you imagine they're about a mile off from shore and they see this cloud of dust on the shore? What is that? A is a herd of people. They're running. I wonder where they're going. And as you're sailing, they're stopping right there. That's exactly where we're going. By the time they get out of the boat, there's a big, big bit of ministry that has to take place still. There's something going on about an attitude here. We shall see in a moment. Jesus, number one, shows them that he gets out of the boat and he receives them. You know what this word in the Greek means to receive? He makes them feel welcomed. Jesus Christ makes people feel welcomed. The word means that he made them feel at home. That he made them feel, we would use the word special. Jesus, instead of them saying, man, come on, give the boys a break, will you? They've been out. He welcomes them. Secondly, he speaks to them about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You say, well, what was it he said? We don't know what he said exactly. But we know that when he preached the kingdom of God, whatever parable, whatever teaching he gave, there would have been certainly something that you know very well that he would have had woven into his message always. In church, I'll tell you what it is in a second. It's something that we need to have in every bit of ministering that we speak to people about as well when we're sharing Jesus with people. Listen carefully. Don't miss this. Whenever you read that Jesus Christ spoke about the kingdom of God, he would have inserted in there John chapter 3. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Don't be surprised about that. He would have told them every time he preached about the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Listen, the word means born from above. He says that which is born of flesh is of the flesh. That's us, skin. But that which is born of spirit is born from above. It's born of the spirit. You and I came into this world being born through our mommies. In this physical world, we came through the water of childbirthing. Now we need to be, Jesus said, born from above, or the English is born a second time, born again. This is so vital, listen, that there is no gospel preached without saying it. You can tell somebody, do you believe in God? You can ask them, yes, I do. Oh, that's great. But if they're not born again, Jesus said, unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. That's vital. Well, Pastor, you know what? They go to the First Baptist Church. They must be going to heaven. They go to Calvary. They must be going to heaven. They're this or that. They must be going to heaven. No. Don't ever assume that. Ask them, are you born again? Do you know what it means? Listen, I don't need to tell you how many people in churches have never even heard the term be born again, even though the letters are written and read in John chapter 3, spoken by Jesus himself. There is no heaven without being born again, says God. And yet ministers, churches, they don't bring it up. This is anathema. Unbelievable. So Jesus preached to them the kingdom. You must be born again. They would have heard that. And then he healed them. He healed those that needed healing, says the scripture. It's amazing. The second point we see this morning is in verses 12 to 14. And Jesus is more than enough this way, my friends. Even when we can't see a way out, even when we can't see the answer to what we're facing, you're going to see this here in a moment. What are you going to do? Maybe in your life today, you love God, you're following God, but there's a situation in your life, you can't see the answer. You can't see the way out of this. Well, number one, realize this. Like, this needs to be something that you and I need to be reminded of. Well, maybe we do. We need to look for God in the midst of the situation that we're in. That look for God to be in the midst of where we're at. Oh, just for fun. I know I said I wasn't going to do this anymore, but raise your hand if you're a Christian. I love that. According to the Word of God, the Lord who will never leave you or forsake you is right in the middle of the situation of your life. Now, the disciples are going to find this out anew here in a moment. Was this written 2,000 years ago for our education? Or was it written for us 2,000 years ago for our learning? There's a big difference. One goes into the head, and one is lived out in our lives. He wants you to know this. It says in verse 12, now when the day that is began to wear away, that's the time between 4 and 6 o'clock in the evening in Israel, from 4 o'clock to sunset, the 12 came to him. Now watch, the 12, the disciples, the apostles, came, and they said to him, it's in quotes, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. On the surface, that sounds so nice. Jesus, send them away. Guess what? Right in the midst of them is the Lord God. Church, has he not done tremendous miracles in their presence? Did he not get them successfully across on a very stormy night in a boat ride? Did they not see him heal and cleanse people of leprosy and all kinds of diseases and opening the eyes of the blind? They watched this firsthand. They come to him, and I know it sounds nice on the surface, but be careful. Send the people away. Well, this is not a suggestion they're giving. The Greek construction is a military command. They come to Jesus and they say, send them away. We're telling you, send them away. Thank you for doing that. Thanks. Get rid of them. Who are they talking to? Jesus. They issue to him a command in a military term. Do you see now why it's possible that Jesus, when he saw them come and they were talking about what they did on their little ministry tour, that Jesus now says, why don't we take a break? Don't you think Jesus, being God, knew that those people would put on their Nikes and run along the shore and beat them to the other side? Don't you think Jesus knew that? Don't you think that Jesus knew that when they got out of the boat and the people were there, that he greeted them and made them feel warm and welcomed? And then spoke to them about the true issue, about being born again, and then backed up what he said by doing the miracles of healing people? Who was watching the whole time? The disciples. Why did they need to do that? Because they were getting on the microphone and they were saying, sit down, be quiet. They were burned out. They were starting to minister in the flesh. And listen, I'm going to tell you, it always happens this way. When a police officer, a minister, a doctor, a nurse, anybody, when they start, being snippy. Is that the right word, snippy? It's not. I know it's not English. It's got to be slang, American. Snippy. Short. It's time for a break. When somebody says, excuse me, but what? Oh, I think we need to take a break. You guys, I got to tell you, I work for God. I get like that sometimes. You know who's the first one to always? Yeah, Lisa. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Lisa. Jack, and she's so great. You need to get alone with the Lord. Isn't that a great way of putting it? You need to get alone with the Lord. Why? It's true. And so, they issue this command. Jesus, send them away. Man, who's working for who here? Wow. You know, the Bible says it's one of the most beloved Old Testament verses, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I hate the run. Now I hate the run. I used to like it when I was a kid, just like you did. But as you can see, I hate the run. And I used to have that written on my running shoes, Isaiah 40, 31. It's an awesome verse. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary, they will walk and they shall not faint. Isn't that a great verse? Listen, our strength's renewed when we wait upon the Lord. How do we do that? Actually, get alone. Turn off everything. And just be before him. Find your rendezvous. If you don't have one, make one. Yeah, that's why I use my car. Cars are good for devotions and listening to radio and sermons and cassettes. That's great. But you know what? You're distracted when you're in the car. Get alone. Bathrooms are great. No one, who's going to bother you in the bathroom? Go to the bathroom. Lock the door. Get alone with God. climb a tree. We have big trees in my backyard. I'll climb a tree. Who's going to look at a tree for a middle-aged man? No one's going to. Where is he? They never think I'm up the tree. Things are nice up there. Find it for you. What works for you? Is it down at the beach? I don't know. Find it. Get a date with God. Get alone with him. Watch what happens. You will actually begin to be strengthened and renewed. I got to tell you, you guys, all this may be too personal. Jean-Luc singing that song. Those are good old Calvary songs from way back at Costa Mesa days, man. And I'm remembering, and there's been a lot of stuff heavy in my heart. I got this stuff cooking in my heart. I've told you that Sunday nights are just really wearing on me with the Islam study and all that stuff. Very depressing. And it's been heavy. And he said, he's leading us in a song. And what was it? Peace like a river. Peace. Oh my gosh, Jesus, Lord. And we're all singing. And I'm singing. Peace like a river. Yes, Lord. I've been losing peace. I didn't realize it till the song was sang in my head. Then I heard it. I remembered, oh my goodness, I've been so bogged down with all this stuff that I'm losing my peace in the Lord. Wow. God, I need peace. Now, this is all taking place during the song, and you thought I was being very normal over there. But what was going on was ministering. He was ministering to me. Lord, I need peace. I need your peace. I'm getting all messed up. Next thought in my head, ask me. You have not because you asked not. Okay, here I come, God. I'm asking. I need peace. And you know what? He's all sufficient. Jesus is enough. He comes in, he floods your heart, and he realigns everything. Begins to make sense of it again. He's in the midst of us. And then if that wasn't enough, listen, when we can't see the way out, listen for God to say something impossible to us. That's the next thing I want you to see in verse 13. He'll say something impossible to us. You say, what are you talking about? I thought the guys were already stressed. Our mind is like this. Oh, are you guys stressed? Yes. Oh, here's two tickets to fill in the blank. Here's two tickets to Maui. Here's two tickets to the game. I don't know what your thing is. Did you know that's not going to work? I've tried that. Man, I'm so stressed. I need to take a break. You can take all the breaks you want, but unless it's a God break, it's not going to happen. I've been on vacations, and it was the worst thing I could have done. My routine's broken. My schedule's all messed up. Man, I tell you what, make sure you take Jesus on your break. And in a moment, everything can be changed. Everything can be changed. Well, what does he do to get us realigned? Don't be surprised if in the midst of our pressure, he winds up laying one more thing on us, and it's not for evil, it's for good. It's to get us to realize that God deals in the impossible. And he uses you and I to do it. That's the freaky thing. God might say, I tell you what, I'm going to do something impossible. Jack, come here. I want to do it through you. But God, I'm tired. I'm going to do it through you. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to do it through you. I don't want to. You don't want to? Oh. Well, then I'll use somebody else. No, use me. Aren't we weird? Sometimes as Christians, we got a cross around our neck, but big, big diapers on. No. Yes. Okay. No. He'll say something impossible to us. Right in the middle of everything, like this. When it says here in verse 12, send them away, they said. Look what he says. Verse 13, Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. You need to circle the word you here. In the Greek, he comes right back at them. You think they threw a punch? You think they threw a left? He gave them a right jab right back. I love this. Jesus didn't say, now boys, guys, come on. You're going to be the big 12. They're going to talk about you guys forever. Now you need to really buck up, okay? You know what he says? This is beautiful. Us guys get this. Ladies, this is kind of like abrasive. In fact, listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. Spurgeon said, it's a firm yet gracious aggressiveness coming from Christ. Lord, send them away. It's late. They need to go get food and all that stuff. Jesus says to them, you feed them. You feed them. The word is stressed on the you. You feed them. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine at that moment? They must have went, what? Like smelling salts. What are you doing talking to us like that? We're the big guys. 12 of us went out and did miracles. Come on, Jesus, don't you know who you are now? I mean, we're big time ministers. We want black donkeys in our own private parking spots? Antennas on the tails? We're the disciples. Can you imagine? We are the disciples, my friend. Jesus says, you feed them. Could you see the air coming out of their head? He's pulling them right out of the clouds. Their feet are dangling from clouds. He pulls them down and puts them right back onto the ground. What are you guys doing? You feed them. You big shot ministers, take care of it. Wow, I would love to have seen this. As long as it's happening to them, it's great. Give them something to eat. And then verses 13 to 14, learn, for God is about to do a work. And they said, like they're going to inform him of something, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people, for there are about 5,000 men. Then he said to the disciples, make them to sit down in groups of 50. Now they start to realize, oh my goodness, he's calling on us to do this and we can't do it. And now they start giving excuses. That's impossible! That's right, it is impossible. It is impossible. John chapter 6 tells us that what they were talking about was almost a year's wages. We don't even have enough money to do that. We'd have to spend a year's wages to feed these people. Imagine there's a little kid there. And we don't know exactly how this happened. But it was found out that little kid has lunch with him. You imagine the little guy's going out of the house. Where are you going to go? I'm going to go see what Jesus is going to do today, Mom. All right then, well, here's your lunch. Here's 5 loaves and 2 fish. The bread's for coming and going, and the fish is for lunch, and, you know, stay out of the way. Little kid sitting there, and all the stuff's going on. Can you imagine these 12 disciples are looking? Man. Hey, there's a bag right over here. This kid's got a bag. Jesus said, you feed them. Do you get the picture? It's never much. What you and I have to give them? Church, listen, I hate to upset you, but it's just too bad. God has never once ever accepted any of our excuses as to why we can't do something for him. I'm here to tell you, and it applies to me too, he has never not once ever listened to our excuse as to why we can't obey him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, in Southern California, in a presentation called Jesus is More Than Enough, a study taken from Luke chapter 9 and verses 10 through 17. Part of our journey through this New Testament historical narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, we're still offering that mini-series also taken from the book of Luke called Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? We've been offering it on DVD, and because we've received quite the response, we've made the decision to extend the offer. For your tax-deductible contribution to the continuing outreach of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send you Pastor Jack's DVD series, Why Do We Struggle with Doubt? There's more than one way to get in touch. You can call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Radio. It's a toll-free number. You can also visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or you can send in your tax-deductible contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.